Give us wisdom into your word. Father, we want to do all things correctly. We want to do things the way that you ask us to do them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless our time tonight in your word. I pray that you would give us great insight into your word. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that Paul is telling us what a public worship service should look like. He's telling us how we should conduct public worship services. You remember the Christians in Corinth at the time of this writing, their public worship services had become chaotic. They became confusion. It seems that they had turned their public worship services into a spiritual gift free-for-all, a frenzy. And it seems that they were competing with one another in the operation of the spiritual gifts. So in their public worship services, people were standing up and giving prophecies, interrupting one another. It was out of order. At the same time, in their public worship services, Christians were standing up, speaking in tongues, interrupting one another, no interpretation for those tongues. It had just become a chaotic nightmare, a mess. This last Monday, my family, we were in Albuquerque celebrating July 4th. And during the day, we were at a swimming pool at a health club. Really nice pool. And with us, we had 9 kids under the age of 8. My 3 kids, my brother's 3 kids, and some dear friends of ours, their 3 kids. And let me tell you, it got crazy. There was at one point where we were all in the deep end of the pool, and all the kids started doing fancy dives, jumps, into the pool. And before they do their dive, they'd stand up and say, "Look at me! Hey, everybody, watch me!" Kerplunk, splash. And before long, 3 or 4 or 5 of them at a time would stand up and say, "Look at me, watch me." Woo, kerplunk, splash, kerplunk, splash, all over the place, mass confusion. Kim and I are just trying to make sure nobody drowns. One of those types of things. That's how the public worship service had become in Corinth. The saints would gather together and all of them would stand up and say, "Wee, look at me." Kerplunk, splash. And all of the Christians were drowning in confusion. And Paul writes this chapter to say, stop that. Put order in your services. Let me tell you how you need to conduct public worship services. And remember what we learned last week. Paul says that when we gather as a church, the priority should be love among the brethren. When we gather together, we're to love one another as Christ loves the church. And that means we're to be respectful of one another, courteous of one another, not interrupting one another, loving one another. Paul also told them that when we gather together as a church, the priority is corporate edification. That is, when we all gather together Sunday mornings, Wednesday night, the goal is that everyone who is gathered be edified. That we all be built up in the faith. Public worship services aren't just for a select few people to feel good about themselves. Corporate edification is the goal. And then Paul told them that the gift of prophecy is preferred in a public worship service because people can understand prophecy. And everyone who is gathered can be edified. And then remember, we learned last week that Paul said if anybody speaks in tongues in a public worship service, there must be an interpretation. If there is not an interpretation of that tongue, then everyone who's gathered cannot understand it and they won't be edified. And Paul's getting to something where we left off last week and where I want to pick up tonight, a very important priority for a church when we meet together publicly. Listen, this is very important. When we gather together in a public worship service, we should strive to make our services understandable, intelligible. Our services should not be chaotic or confusing. They should be understandable. And we should strive for that. And Paul gives us three reasons in verses 20 through 25 why we should strive for understandable public worship services. The first reason is found in verse 20. Paul says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." We are told there that Christians are to become mature in understanding. We're to become mature in our understanding of the Lord, who He is, what He's like. We're to become mature in our understanding of the Word of God, spiritual truths, how God wants us to live. When it comes to sin, wickedness, malice, evil, we're to be babes. Innocent little children, folk. But when it comes to spiritual understanding, we are to be full-grown, mature adults. When you become a Christian, you're a babe in Christ, but the goal is not to stay a baby. The goal is to grow in your walk with the Lord and to grow in your spiritual understanding. Now, if that is true, then our public worship services should promote understanding, not confusion, not chaos. In our public worship services, we should have an environment of learning, not confusion. When we gather together, our public worship services should be understandable because people who come need to grow in their understanding. They need to become mature. The people that were going to the public worship services in Corinth, they left, no doubt, more confused than they came. And that would be a tragedy. I do not want people to come to a public worship service here at Calvary Chapel, Sun City, and leave more confused than when they came. We should strive to be understandable. When I was an engineer several years ago in Albuquerque, sort of an embarrassing thing happened to me. I had to go to a meeting, people in the community, over some technical project I was working on. I didn't know of any of the folks that I'd be meeting with, but I went as a representative of our company. I showed up late because I couldn't find the place. And so then I ended up going in and, you know, introducing myself. Sorry, I'm late. Embarrassing. And then they began talking about things that I had no idea what they were talking about. And I thought, what's going on? I was in the wrong meeting. So then I had to say, excuse me, I got to go. And I left and I went to a meeting where I could understand. Listen, when people come to church, they want to find out about God. They want to come to an understanding of spiritual realities. And if they come to a church service and they get confused about that, they're going to think, I'm in the wrong meeting. I'm in the wrong place. And how tragic if they would leave a church that's supposed to be the dispenser of truth and go find heresy somewhere else. Our services must be understandable. A second reason why our services must be understandable. Understandable public services, I believe, are under the blessing of God. Chaotic, confusing services are not under the blessing of God. In fact, you could say they're under the judgment of God. I want to be under the blessing of God, don't you? And so when we meet together, I want our services to be understandable. Understand, there's a very important principle in the Bible. If a person is able to understand spiritual truths and understand things about the Lord, they're under the blessing of God. Those who are not able to understand spiritual truths or understand things about the Lord, they're not under the blessing of God. In fact, they're in trouble. You remember when Jesus in the Gospel spoke in parables? Remember, he spoke in parables for two reasons. What two reasons? Number one, so that some, the faithful, could understand. Number two, others could not understand. Those who can understand are under the blessing of God. Those who cannot understand are not under the blessing of God, and they don't really even want to understand. I believe that an understandable public worship service is under the blessing of God. And here's why I say that. Where do you get that, Terry? Well, I get it from verses 21 and 22. And I want you to really think hard with me on these verses. We're about to look at two of the most difficult verses in the Bible to interpret. So really put your thinking caps on. Track with me. You're going to see that in these two verses, Paul will refer back to an unfortunate event that happened in the history of Israel. And then he's going to apply it to the current situation of that church in Corinth. In verse 21, he says, "In the law it is written, 'With men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me,' says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe." Now, I want you to think Old Testament with me for a minute. I want you to think of Israel, God working with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Remember that that nation was redeemed out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. And they were brought to the outskirts of the promised land. God was going to give them the promised land. Right before they went into the promised land, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God told them, "If you will obey my commandments, if you will follow me, if you will fear me, when you get into the promised land, then you will experience my blessing. You'll be blessed physically, spiritually, every which way." In that same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 28, he said, "If you go into the land, however, and stop keeping my commandments, turn your back on me, rebel on me, then you will not be under my blessing. You'll be under my curse. You'll be under my judgment." And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 20, one of the specific judgments mentioned by God was confusion. "If you turn your back on me in the land, I will bring a confusion upon you as a nation. There'll be a lack of understanding. Follow me." In verse 40 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, God said another specific judgment, if you turn your back on me, is "I will send foreigners into your land to take you captive. And one of the signs of my judgment against you is you will be hearing the languages of foreign people that you cannot understand in your very cities. You'll be hearing tongues spoken in your city that you cannot understand. And that'll be judgment." Confusion. Not understanding the tongues that are spoken in their city. Lack of understanding equals judgment in the Old Testament. Understanding, having prophets that would come to the people and speak in plain language that they could understand, that would equal the blessing of God. Again, in the Old Testament. Well, they were warned. They did go into the promised land, and as you know the story, they rebelled against the Lord, right? The nation of Israel blew it. Hundreds of years later, they rebelled against the Lord, and a guy by the name of Isaiah the prophet was commissioned by the Lord to give a prophecy to that rebelling nation. That prophecy that Isaiah gave was recorded in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, which is the very verse that Paul is referring here in verse 21. Isaiah said to them, "With men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me." Nation of Israel, you're going to blow it. The foreigners are going to come. You're going to hear tongues in your own city that you don't understand. It'll be a form of judgment against you. They didn't repent. The Assyrians came later, invaded their cities, defeated them, took them captive, and they were judged. They heard the languages of foreign people spoken in their own city. It was a sign of the judgment of God. In the Old Testament, tongues without understanding, lack of understanding, confusion, judgment, understanding, things making sense, prophets who speak in clear language, blessing. With that backdrop then, in verse 22, Paul says, "Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe." In other words, Paul is saying, in the past, with the nation of Israel, tongues, or the lack of understanding, was the mark or sign of an unbelieving community that was no longer under the blessing of God. If you have chaotic worship services in Corinth, you are on the same league as the people of God who were judged in the past. You're not blessed. If you have all sorts of disorderly things happening in your service, tongues being spoken and nobody understands it, you're on the same league with the people of God who were judged in the past. You are not blessed. The other side is true, too, however. In the past, for the nation of Israel, prophecy or understanding was the mark or sign of a believing community that was under the blessing of God. And so Paul is telling that church, you need to strive for understandable worship services because understandable worship services are blessed of the Lord. And that's what I believe is actually true. God blesses services that are understandable. It's under His blessing. Unfortunately, there are some Christians, and you've met them in some circles, that seem to believe that the more chaotic or out of control a service can be, the more blessed of the Holy Spirit that service is. Have you ever heard anything like that? It's like, let's see how confusing we can get. Let's see how many tongues can be spoken. Let's see how many fireworks we can shoot off. Pow! Kerplunk! Splash! The Holy Spirit must really be moving in that service. Wow! Look at all the signs and the wonders. And then you ask them, well, what did you learn?
I didn't learn anything, but I got spiritual goosebumps. The Holy Spirit was moving.
Oh, how's that experience going to help you on Monday morning? It won't, but I got spiritual goosebumps. The Holy Spirit anointed it. No. Understandable worship services are under the blessing of God. That's what we need to strive for. A third reason. And this is obvious. Public worship services need to be understandable because understandable public worship services are more effective in doing the work of the Lord. Look what Paul says in verses 23 through 25. He says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say, are you out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by all, he's convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Watch that. See that. Understandable worship services are more effective in doing the work of the Lord. And he gives an example. Chaotic worship services are not very effective. He says, if you meet together as a church and all of you begin speaking in tongues, and a non-believer comes to that service, or an uninformed Christian, a new Christian, a baby Christian, an immature Christian, what are they going to think of all those people speaking in tongues? What does Paul say? They're out of their mind. Nuts. Cuckoo. Absolute confusion. How effective is that? Hey, when I have somebody come to a public worship service at Calvary Chapel, do I want them to leave thinking they're nuts, thinking we're nuts just because they can't understand what we're saying? We're all speaking in tongues? Absolutely not. Now, some people may think we're nuts anyways, even though they can understand us, but that's a different story. But in a public worship service, speaking in tongues without any interpretation does the guest no good. It's not effective. However, if a non-believer or an uninformed Christian, brand new believer, immature believer, comes to a public service where there's prophecy, that is, where there's a clear, anointed message from the Lord being spoken so that everyone can hear. If that is in place, oh, that's very effective. In fact, it says at the end of verse 24, if an unbeliever comes into a service like that, that unbeliever becomes convinced by all. Literally, persuaded towards the Christian faith. Persuaded towards the gospel message. That person becomes convicted. That person wants to change. Verse 25, the secrets of his heart will be revealed in a public worship service like that. I love that. You come to a worship service that's understandable, where the word of God is being preached powerfully in an understandable way, and that will expose the hearts of people. Has that ever happened to you coming to church? The secrets of your heart revealed. I can remember going to church and having a secret in my heart that I thought nobody else knew about, just me. It's just something Terry's keeping around. I'm not going to tell anybody. And you go and you listen to a sermon and the Holy Spirit blasts you out of your chair. Puts his finger right on that secret that you've been keeping in your heart. The secrets of your heart have been exposed. And that happens at understandable worship services that are blessed by the Lord. I've had people come up to me after a service. Who told you? Who told you about me? Or I've had testimonies from some of you. You've brought a friend to church. And you ask them how they like the service afterwards. And the friend says, did you tell that pastor something about me? Did you tell on me? I love when that happens. When somebody comes up to me after the service and says, how did you find out? I'll say, I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. I didn't study all week because somebody gave me some inside information on you and I studied to nail you when you came to church. No, I love to be able to say the Lord Jesus Christ has just spoken to your heart. The secrets of your heart have just been exposed. God has your number. He's talking to you. Listen. That's beautiful. That's what happens in understandable public worship services. And then watch what happens. Thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Isn't that what we want to see at church? We want to see non-believers come in, get touched by God, hear a message from the Lord that changes them forever, watch them fall on their face, worship the Lord, become believers, and watch their life change, don't we? That's what we want to see. We don't want people to come in and see a bunch of people speaking in tongues and walk out shaking their head crazy. Hearing prophecy, hearing the word of God spoken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way and watching their lives change. And so we'll strive for understandable public worship services here at Calvary. And by the way, there are many churches who don't speak in tongues and still have chaotic worship services. Sometimes they teach theology that's way over people's heads, or they get involved in other sorts of off-mark topics. We must always strive to see that the Bible is taught simply so that people can understand and so that the Holy Spirit can do His wonderful, marvelous work in the lives of the hearers. Amen? Corinth, get your act together. Your services must be understandable. And so we will strive after that here at this church. We will do things under the order of the Holy Spirit, according to the order of Holy Scripture. And Paul gets to practical advice then. Practical advice about conducting the public worship service. In verse 26, he says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." Now, in church, psalms are good, right? Speaking a psalm, singing a psalm. Teaching is good. Speaking in tongues has its place with an interpretation. It can be good. Prophecy is good. Interpretation is good in a public worship service. That's good. But in Corinth, it seemed that everybody who came to church wanted to do all of that. Paul says, how is it that when you come together, each of you has a psalm? Each of you has an interpretation. Each of you has a tongue. You see what's going on? Everybody came to church in Corinth. Whee! Look at me. Put the spotlight on me. I want to talk. I want to speak. Watch me. Kerplunk splash. In a public worship service, we're to be courteous with one another. We're not to interrupt one another. And I personally believe that in a public worship service, there should only be a few speakers. Not a whole bunch of speakers. Few speakers speaking one at a time so that people can understand. They may be different speakers every week, but a few speakers. Keep things in order. And by the way, don't be one of those Christians who likes to monopolize some spiritual gathering with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You ever been to a prayer meeting where somebody wants to pray for an hour and a half? Or go to a discussion group where somebody wants to do all the discussing? Be courteous with your brother and sister in Christ. There's a great story. D.L. Moody, that great evangelist, was leading a service, and he asked a man to pray. And taking advantage of his opportunity, the man prayed, and he went on and on and on for 15, 20 minutes. Finally, Moody got up there and said, "While our brother finishes his prayer, let us sing a hymn." Just cut him off. And that was smart, and that was wise. Psalms. Teachings, prophecy, revelation, tongues, interpretation. That's good, but we don't all have to do it at every service. And it can be done in order. speaking in tongues in a public worship service. What does Paul say? Now, it's very clear. Verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Isn't that easy to understand? In a public worship service, if there is speaking in tongues allowed at that public worship service, if there is that opportunity, then when someone speaks in tongues, it must be an interpretation, and there could only be two, at the most three, people to stand up and speak in tongues. And it must be interpreted. That's it. Simple. And by the way, this verse tells us that those who speak in tongues can control themselves. There are some Christians, and I've met them, who say, when I speak in tongues, I can't help it, man. The Holy Spirit comes upon me, I go into a trance. And I just start speaking in tongues, and I just can't control it. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. Bible says in verse 28, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. And let him speak to himself and to God. You can speak in tongues audibly, or you can speak in tongues in silent, and you can control it. Just like praying publicly. You can sit in that chair tonight and pray silently. Or if I were to ask you to stand up and close us in prayer, you could do it publicly, audibly. It's in your control. Same with speaking in tongues. The gift of prophecy. And by the gift of prophecy here, I mean where somebody gets a word of prophecy and they speak up and give a message to a congregation. What are the rules? Verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Pretty straightforward again, wouldn't you agree? Prophecy in a public worship service. Two, or at the most, three can stand up, if we're in an environment like that where we're waiting on the Holy Spirit for that, two or at the most three can stand up and give a prophecy. They must speak one at a time. They must not interrupt. And then it says very clearly there that the prophecies that are uttered are to be judged. And I believe the Bible teaches that the male elders of the church, or the pastor of the church, are responsible to judge the prophecies that are uttered in a public worship service. So if we were waiting on the Holy Spirit and I was conducting a believer's meeting, an afterglow, if you will, and we're waiting on the Holy Spirit, and somebody gets up and gives a prophecy, it would be my responsibility as the conductor of that meeting to judge that prophecy. In other words, to be responsible to say, hey, if that's not of the Lord, I need to tell the congregation. Or if it's of the Lord, yes, that's good. Prophets get up one at a time, they give prophecy, and those prophecies are to be judged in the public worship service. Again, prophets are in control of their gift of prophecy. It does say the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, verse 32. So again, you can't say, Pastor, I just can't help it. I just had to get up and prophesy. A trance came upon me. I couldn't take it. I just had to speak. You are in control. You can stand up and prophesy, or you can sit down and stay silent. You know, you think about this passage, and I'm telling you, the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues in a public worship service, when we have a time of waiting on the Holy Spirit like that, you shouldn't hear an awful lot, should you? In fact, those meetings should be silent more than anything. Two or three tongues at the most, two or three prophecies at the most, for a total of four or six of those type of gifts at the most in a public worship service. The rest of the time we're waiting upon the Lord, we're praying. I say that because I've been to some afterglows, I've been to some meetings like that, and they seem to forget that. I've been to some meetings like that where people, there'll be 30 prophecies.
One stands up, gives a prophecy, and no sooner does he sit down, the other person gets up and he has a prophecy to share. He sits down and another lady in the back, she stands up, she gives a prophecy. No sooner does she sit down, somebody else gets up and they have a tongue.
Man, I think in meetings like that, it should be silent most of the time, and I think we'd take it a whole lot more seriously then. And I think we would be really, really taking it serious when we feel the Lord putting on our heart to stand up in a public service and give a word of prophecy. I think it'll mean more. In our public worship services, can you speak in tongues? Answer, yes. On Sunday mornings and Wednesday night, you can speak in tongues all you want to yourself, silently. Are there times when I can speak in tongues audibly? You know, at our church, we haven't allowed that to happen. Are there times where I can stand up and give a prophecy? You know, in our church, we haven't really allowed that to happen. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me I need to provide some avenues for that. Not to be afraid of those things. Not on a Sunday morning, not on a Wednesday night, but perhaps in a prayer meeting. Perhaps at a kinship group. Perhaps we'll do some afterglows and I'll conduct some and we'll try. I don't think we need to be afraid of these things, just orderly about them. And perhaps give ourselves as a fellowship an opportunity to see what the Lord might do. Ladies, I have to warn you, you're not going to like the next two verses. In fact, these two verses, you're not going to like them. Let's push forward. Skipping verse 30. No, I'm kidding. Paul says in verse 34, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church." Go ahead, clench your teeth. These two verses make many people think that Paul is a woman-hating bachelor. These two verses drive the women's liberation crowd berserk, nuts. And many women in the church have a very, very hard time with those two verses because it sounds harsh. And listen, as a man, on my first read, I even see it as way too harsh. And my sisters in Christ, I want you to understand tonight, it's not as bad as it looks. There's an explanation for this. First of all, I want you to know that Paul does not hate women. Paul does not look down on women. Paul worked with women oftentimes in his ministry. Paul stood for the freedom of women. Paul said that there are no males or females in Christ. We're all one in Christ. And I do not believe that these two verses are saying that women can't speak at all in a public worship service, that they have to sit there and be submissive and watch the men work. And that all women can do in a public worship service is sit there, be quiet, and if they have any questions, they got to ask their husband at home. I think that would be hard in today's society because most of the women I know their Bibles better than their husbands. I don't think that Paul is saying that, and here's why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul speaks of women praying and prophesying in the church. In chapter 11, he says, the only thing he says there is women are not allowed to pray or prophesy in church with their heads uncovered. But if their heads are covered, they're able to prophesy and pray. Now, that's a whole other issue. We've already been through it. You can get the tape for that one. But I believe that the Bible teaches that women can speak in a public worship service. They can pray, they can prophesy, they can give testimony, they can sing a song. I am blessed. I have been blessed by my sisters in Christ. And I've had women minister to me in wonderful ways through song or a prayer or a prophecy or something like that. So then what is Paul saying? Well, I think the obvious interpretation here, Paul is speaking against the women in that church at that time who were speaking in an inappropriate way. And he's saying that women who speak in inappropriate ways in church, they need to be silent. How could they have been speaking inappropriately? There's a few ideas. Remember, Paul was just talking about prophecy in a public worship service. And he was saying that when two prophets get up, or after somebody gives their prophecy, then that prophecy is to be judged. And remember how I made a point to say, and I believe those judgments are for the male elders and the pastor of the church. I believe Paul is saying that women are to be silent in the process of judging prophecy in the public worship service. That's a job for the spiritual leaders of the church. And if they were to have any questions or any problems with anything, then they're to go home and talk to their husbands about it. But they're not allowed to voice anything in a public worship service. That's one idea. A better idea. Another idea. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, that he does not permit women to teach men or be an authority over men. And the idea here is that in the church, God has designed that men are to be the spiritual leaders. They're to occupy the place of leadership and authority in the local church. Women are not to occupy those positions. And God is the one who designed that. And I always like to remind my sisters in Christ, remember God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. That's why he called guys to be the leaders. We're most foolish, it would appear. And it's not because women are less than men. It's for the sake of order. Men are to occupy the place of spiritual leadership in the home and in the church. And so Paul would say, I do not permit women to speak in a public worship service from a position of authority, from a position of spiritual leadership. That would be inappropriate. And we already learned in 1 Corinthians that the women in that church struggled with submission to authority. That may have been the problem here. And Paul may have been saying to them, you are speaking out of line. You are speaking not mindful of the role that you have in the church. You need to stay silent. It's possible that the women could have been those who were abusing the spiritual gifts the most. Paul says, be silent. It's possible that the women in the church were creating debates and arguments in the public worship service. It's possible that many of the women in that public worship service were chattering, gossiping, causing all sorts of problems. And so Paul says to them, be silent. By the way, that would go to men who struggle with those things as well, right? Because the public worship service is to be a place where love among the brethren is enjoyed. And there's order. Okay, ladies? Make sense? If you speak in church, I'm not going to throw you out. I want to hear from you. We just won't have female pastors here, okay? And we won't have them speaking in a position of authority from that, because I think that's very clear in the Bible. Finishes up very quickly, verse 36. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it from you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. If anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. This is a rebuke. This is a rebuke. Paul says, you need to abide by these commandments. You need to set your services in order. I know that you think that you've heard from God and that you're special. You're hooked up with the Lord and you've got the real insight and you can have these kinds of services where you speak in tongues and do prophecy and have all this stuff going on. But you need to know that you're wrong. I'm giving you the commandments of the Lord and you need to abide by them. It's a rebuke. And then in verse 39, he wraps it all up with balance. I love this. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Desire earnestly that you would prophesy, that is, that you can speak the words of the Lord in a clear message in a public worship service. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. Just make sure they're done in an orderly way. And that last sentence of this chapter, perfect balance, let all things be done. Let all things be done. Decently. And in order. There are some churches that have the second half of that sentence down to the pat. Decently and in order. Everything is decent and orderly in their public worship services. They forgot about the first half that says, let all things be done. Then there are some churches that got the first half of that sentence down pat. Let all things be done. Whee! Kerplunk, splash! But they need to understand that we need to let all things be done decently and in order. Guys, my brother and sister in Christ, this is the balance I want. In our fellowship, I'd like to see all things be done that are biblical, that we see in Scripture, that we can be back up with Scripture and you can see it being practiced in Scripture. Let all things be done. But hey, let them be done decently and in order. And I think 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is very clear. Church, when we get together, let's be a church. Amen? May our public worship services be a place where there is love among the brethren, where corporate edification is a priority, where we strive for understandable public worship services, where it doesn't become a competition, where we're courteous, respectful of one another. where speaking in tongues is done as prescribed in the Bible. Where prophecy is done as prescribed in the Bible. Where all of us, men and women, know our roles in the body. And trying to walk that line of balance. I'll be honest with you, it would be so easy for me to just throw out all the spiritual gifts and not worry about it. Because it can be such a hassle and Christians can be so confused over the issue and they fight and people get offended over it. But you know what? I can't. It's in the Scripture. We must deal with the issue. And I believe the balanced approach is the best. And so, Lord, keep our fellowship in balance. Lord, keep us in order. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that your hand of blessing and anointing would stay upon our fellowship and that our public worship services would be blessed of you, anointed by you. Lord, we ask and pray that you would send people into our midst and that they would hear your word and they would be convinced, convicted, exposed, that they would become worshipers of you. And that they would know that you are in this place. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would work with each one of us individually in these matters. And that all of us would be submissive to your word, to your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's one guitar out here, electric. I can't play it, so I'm just gonna let's just stand and we're.